The Power of the Exalted Jesus. Commentary for the July 15, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. This morning, as I was on my customary walk, storm clouds were gathering, and I could hear thunder in the distance. I checked the weather report on my phone before leaving and read a severe thunderstorm warning. Should I go, or shouldn't I? No rain was falling, and the overall report predicted dry lightning, which meant an increased chance of wildfires from lightning strikes. However, since it said dry, meaning little to no rain, I felt I was safe from dousing. The wind gusts had picked up, so I left my umbrella at home rather than having to deal with the wind trying to tear it out of my hands should I open it if there was rain. I already had my daily prayer time, but I also made a quick prayer for blessing and protection and stepped out the door. I had not walked a block when droplets of rain began to fall. I reminded God of my prayer for protection, and the drops seemed to let up while I walked the next few blocks. However, once I reached the farthest point from home in my walk, the rain began to pour. I again reminded God of my prayer, but I also added that if he was fine with baptizing me by sprinkling, I was fine with it also. I have long believed that God shares my sense of humor. We both continued walking and talking together, and while I was on the return portion of my walk, the thunder began rolling through the clouds. I saw no lightning, but with each peal, the thunder was coming in from the west and drawing closer. Once again, I asked God for his protection. Still walking together, we arrived safely at our house, where he has always been welcome. My clothes were soaked, but would dry quickly, and we could laugh together about the fun of a walk in the rain without umbrella or raincoat. Shortly after, the sky became an expanse of blue, and the sun lit up the summer flowers in our yard, leaving little hint of the storm. I thank God for the beauty of such days, but as I write this commentary hours later, I see from the window of my den that thunderclouds are again beginning to form, promising an evening of heavenly fireworks to light up the night sky. My mother used to say that all the noise from the thunder was just the angels bowling. As a child, that made thunderstorms seem magical. But as an adult, I know that it is simply another aspect of the beauty of God's creation. I marvel that I can see the myriad colors of nature, and that I can hear the pleasant sounds of birdsong as well as the roar of thunder. Not everyone has these gifts, and others have them more perfectly than I do, especially with my advancing age. I wonder at those who cannot see or hear, who nonetheless make their way through life, even surpassing at times those who have both sight and hearing. Their courage and fortitude amaze me. It is a contrast to those who have the greater advantage with their senses, yet go through life with hardly a thought to the beauty that life brings. A profound difference exists between the person who crushes a flower because they cannot see it, and the person who crushes it because they simply do not care. Somewhere on the continuum between not caring and not knowing is where, if our hearts are open, we can begin a relationship with God. Like the prodigal of Scripture, we discover that an uncaring attitude really doesn't work. We admit that we don't know everything, and in that void of unknowing, instead of emptiness, we can find the metaphorical man behind the curtain, God, who made it all possible, and who wants more than anything to walk with us daily, as he walked with Adam and Eve in the beginning. At this point, we might ask about unanswered prayers. For instance, what about the person with terminal cancer and has many people praying for their recovery, but they still die? I admit that I do not have the answer to that question. But I suggest we look at it from a slightly different perspective. Instead of asking why God has not intervened, what if God were to ask the same question of us? God may feel that he has almost 8 billion answers to prayer walking the earth right now. But many, even most, refuse to be the answer to prayer for one another. Parents are heartbroken when their children hate and abuse one another. How must it make God feel to see his kids waging war with one another across the face of the beautiful planet they inhabit? My first wife died after struggling with multiple sclerosis for decades. Today we have treatments that target that illness that did not exist in her day. How many more lives could have been saved sooner with humanity cooperatively working together to answer the prayers of the hurting instead of wasting money and resources to increase that suffering through wars and the hoarding of resources causing famine and disease to be widespread among those robbed of hope despite their need? We have the privilege of being the answer to prayer of a hurting world. But we would rather not and instead fault God for not stepping in by fiat to solve every problem. By our behavior, we say we do not want God. We want Superman, because Superman does his thing, saves the world, and requires nothing from us except to stand by applauding. As a result, too many are hurting, and hurting people tend to hurt others. The degree of that hurt is visible in the United States by the ever-growing problem of mass violence, often in the form of shooting several innocent bystanders who have no connection to the perpetrator. What does this have to do with prayer? It has everything to do with being in a continual relationship with one who will speak constantly to our hearts about our need to be someone's answer to prayer. It is a whisper that speaks to us. It is not through a long commercial on television that tugs at our heartstrings. While those organizations do good things and God will bless them as he is able, it is more about that whisper asking, how is our neighbor doing? Do you know what their needs are? God does not ask us to go rebuke them because their understanding of God is incomplete compared to what we think we know. Besides, God has given life to almost 8 billion individual, unique answers to prayer. Unlike us at times, he is comfortable with difference, with diversity. He had to be to create so much of it. If we are to be the answers to prayer that God intended, then we must find a way to breach the wall of separation between us and the diverse world we live in, or those prayers we were created to answer will never find fulfillment. Unfortunately, especially for those professing Christianity, that failure reflects on God, and those who fail to find the support they need will see that as part of the character of God. Even if the failing is ours and not God's, they will see God as aloof, uncaring, or even non-existent. If we do a little self-examination, we can see the truth of this. How often have we felt neglected, or that the church did not care about us because we did not get the visits we felt we deserved, especially pastoral visits? We may even go so far as to sever our connection with the church over this, feeling that such behavior is not representative of the body of Christ. Taken to the extreme, we may even infer that since the body of Christ is so unchristlike, the existence of Christ is fictional as well. Even the Bible is problematic in this respect, with so much gruesome killing, even in God's name, going on for thousands of years before Christ. Then we had a brief interlude influenced by the teachings of Jesus, where Christians would rather die as martyrs than take up arms against others. This did not sit too well with the Jews, who felt that the Christians should have taken up arms and joined them in their ill-fated rebellion against Rome in the early 2nd century. But through Christ, his followers had seen a different vision, a more elevated view of their fellow human beings. That view changed, however. Within a few centuries, the church was willing to endorse the mass slaughter of their brothers and sisters who saw things from other perspectives, doing so in the very name of God, who sent Christ with his message of love and compassion. That same spirit manifests itself too often in the modern Christian church, in every denomination, sect, cult, and religious corporation. But that whisper still speaks to those who would listen, even in that maelstrom of churning hatred masquerading as love. Listen for that whisper, and you will find God. And not only God, but you will find others who have learned to become answers to prayer as well. There is power in the teachings of Jesus to lift all of humanity if we would only listen. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with the scripture footnotes supporting the ideas in this podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, as well as books by the author, at that website. May God richly bless you and your family.